This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Antoinette Grajeda. Bike NWA has just completed the installation of three pilot projects in Fayetteville, Springdale, and Siloam Springs. The projects, which are focused on creating safer streets for all users, were funded by a grant from the Walton Family Foundation. Earlier this week, Paxton Roberts, executive director of Bike NWA, stopped by the Carver Center for Public Radio to discuss the projects. He says over the last decade, there's been a lot of investment in bike infrastructure from cities in the region and the Walton Family Foundation.
We have hundreds of miles of mountain bike trails now in the region. We have over 100 miles of shared-use paved trails in the region, too. But the reality is we simply can't build a shared-use paved trail everywhere. There's not enough space. And so the next best option is to putting in different types of infrastructure that are in the street. And so primarily these are protected bike lanes and neighborhood greenways. And so these pilot projects are a great way to test before you invest. That's kind of the catchy saying. It allows you to spend maybe, the low tens of thousands of dollars up to $100,000 on a project instead of spending, close to $1 million on a project. And so it lets you test concepts out that are best practices from other places and bring them to Northwest Arkansas.
And so for people that maybe aren't as familiar with these projects, what are that you're installing protected bike lanes, but what does that mean?
Right. What it is, it's in Fayetteville, we're piloting protected bike lanes and also something we're calling an enhanced bike lane for the Fayetteville project. In Springdale, we're doing the same protected bike lanes. And then in Siloam Springs, we're piloting the neighborhood greenway concept. So there's some similarities and differences between all the projects. And the goal here, as much as I'll talk about bikes and, obviously we're the bike organization, it's really about creating a safer street for all users. And it just so happens that one of the best ways you can create a safer street is by retrofitting it with bike infrastructure. It's something that's counterintuitive, but wide lanes are actually more dangerous than narrow lanes, especially within a city.
Why is that?
It's because the wider lane actually encourages you to drive faster because you feel more confident and more secure and more safe driving faster. But one thing we know through data and statistics is that speed kills. And so whether you're driving in a car and hit another car or you hit a pedestrian or a bicyclist, speed is the number one factor that leads to death. And so this bicycle infrastructure, by narrowing the lanes, when you retrofit it in, that's what normally happens. Roads have been overbuilt for many, many years, for decades, and it's just now to the point where there's been enough analysis and data collection to understand that what 20, 30 years ago we thought was making a safer street is actually making it more dangerous. And so there's this movement across the country to narrow the lanes. And It's really interesting, but it's counterintuitive too, because most people think, oh, you're going to narrow the lane, it's more dangerous because I'm going to be more likely to hit an oncoming car or hit a cyclist that's on the side of the road. But what happens is in the narrower lane, you don't feel as safe, so you're going to slow down. You're going to be more cautious. You're going to be less likely to text and drive because you don't feel secure doing those things. What commonly happens here and around the country is that we take these lanes and we narrow them down. In a city, 10 to 11 feet is optimal. The narrower 10 feet slows cars down even more. 11 feet is better than 12 or 13 as well. So, and what you do is you reallocate that road space to create room for bikes. And, for many years we've had bike lanes put in, just a single white stripe, and you may see a bike symbol and it looks like a shoulder of the road. But when speeds get above 25 miles per hour and the volume gets up into thousands of vehicles a day, the reality is that people just don't feel safe riding in those lanes. And so what we're looking at now with these protected bike lanes is it creates a buffered space between you and the cars, and that's normally done with paint. And then you put some type of physical protection in that buffer. And so, for example, in Fayetteville, we're using these things called curb stops, and they're black with this white reflective stripes on them so that cars and cyclists can see them at night. And so you space those periodically down the buffer, And then every once in a while you put a tall bollard, and these are the white sticks that are mm-hmm. sticking up. They're flexible, so if you do hit one, they do bend over and pop back up. But those really help the vehicles to know where those curb stops are. Helps in winter conditions if there's snows on the ground to know where those curb stops are. So that's kind of the combination of materials in order to create that protected bike lane.
And you said Siloam Springs was slightly different?
It is. So in Siloam Springs, we're testing and piloting a neighborhood greenway concept. They're also called bicycle boulevards. And so the best way to think about it is you have your street that you live on in front of your house. And I think it's pretty common for us to all talk about how fast cars drive down our neighborhood streets. You know, sometimes it's us in a hurry to get to work or to get home. But really, speeds are too high. And I haven't found anybody that wants cars to drive faster on their neighborhood street. Instead, most people want people to drive slower. And so what can you do? Once again, you're having to do these speed mitigation techniques to get cars to slow down. Narrowing the roads is one example. There's also these mitigation devices called pinch points. And so pinch points creates essentially just a momentary one-way situation. So the road pinches down, and it's wider than one lane, but not wide enough for two cars to pass by each other. And so it creates a yield scenario. Whenever you're riding down the street and you're coming on to someone in your car, you have to stop and let one of you go. Kind of like the old one-lane bridges that we've had in our area years ago. And so there's other things called speed humps or speed tables. And they're not a speed bump. I don't think anybody likes speed bumps. But these are designed that if you drive over them at an appropriate speed, your car won't have that jarring bump that you would feel normally. So if you drive over them 15 to 20 miles an hour, no problems. You're just going to feel like a slight up and down as you drive over. But if you're going any faster, it's not going to be pleasant. So it encourages people to slow down.
And so that's what you've installed in Siloam.
Yeah. So we're using a combination of speed hump and pinch points in Siloam Springs. And then there is a section or two of protected bike lane. Another wonderful thing we're doing is using green paint in conflict areas. This is a practice that's becoming popular around the country, especially in areas where there are commercial driveways or intersections. Those are the most dangerous places. There's a lot of car accidents or crashes happen in those areas. So we're using green paint to help elevate and alert drivers of vehicles that this is an area that you really need to be careful in.
So over the course of the next year, what kind of data will you be gathering?
So we are embarking on a series of speed and volume collection on the corridors. So in four places on each of the corridors, those little black tubes will be across the road, and they'll be down for 2 weeks, and that's monitoring the speed and volume of vehicles. In Rolling Hills, for example, when we collected the data prior to doing the project, it's a 30-mile-per-hour speed limit. The 85th percentile speed was 38.4 miles per hour. So that means 85% of the vehicles were doing 8.5 miles over the speed limit. And so really, that's a dangerous situation. And so we'll be looking to see if these bike facilities and if narrowing the roads lower those average speeds and thus create a safer road for all users. Another thing is that the buffer in the bike lane makes it safer for people walking on the sidewalks, because now there's a 6 or 9 foot buffer between the person on the sidewalk and the car. And so if you're walking down the sidewalk with your child or they're riding a tricycle, you have a lot more space. And so it's going to encourage people to walk as well. We also, in all three of the projects, striped in crosswalks along the corridors where there weren't any previously. So if there are curb cuts for the ADA pedestrian ramps, but no crosswalk, we went ahead and striped in the crosswalks as well to encourage people to get out and walk.
Will the public be able to provide any sort of feedback or anything like that over the course of the year?
Yes, so we took pre-surveys prior to doing the projects, and we had them out for, I think, several weeks, almost a month. And then in the coming weeks, we'll release the post-installation surveys, and they will be up on our website, and they'll also be available on each of the city's websites as well. And so people can fill out the questionnaire and let us know how they feel about driving on these corridors and riding on the corridors, and then give their feedback. So very much, this is what's great about the pilot projects. It allows you to incorporate public feedback. It allows you to refine the project over the course of the year. That's why it's important that these are on the ground for an entire year, because change is hard. And I think anytime any of our daily lives are affected by change, it can be something that some people take better than others. And so, you know, we need to have these facilities on the ground so that we can let people get over that initial reaction to the change and really measure and analyze how it works over the course of the year. And then, of course, also potentially make some changes. You know, right now, I think in Fayetteville, we've gotten a lot of comments about how close the curb stops are to the lanes, and a lot of people are scared they're going to hit them, scared that they don't have enough room to go in an emergency situation. And so we're talking with the city about potentially moving those, you know, back a little bit. And so, you know, it's one of those things that we can work with the public. We know that all users of the road need to use it safely, and that's what the most important thing is that we're designing these facilities and enabling people who, you know, if you don't have a car, you can't afford one, or for some people that don't want one, and you have a job, how are you supposed to get to work? You know, and why can't you get to work safely? You know, and I would hope that that's something that people would start to think about more and more, is just that equity component, is that especially if I can't afford a car and I want to have a job, you know, shouldn't I be entitled to get to that job safely? And right now we wake up in the morning, we get in our car and we drive somewhere. We don't think about whether I can get there safely. But if you're walking or riding a bicycle, you can't do that. You know, you really have to put a lot of time and energy into planning to get to the library, to get to the doctor's appointment, to get to your job. And so we're really excited about, you know, if we can get this on-street bike network created, it's going to create a lot more equitable community for all sorts of people.
We've talked a lot about how these types of lanes are good for safety. And you mentioned equity in terms of people not having a car and needing a bike as their mode of transportation, or people who just prefer that. What do these bike lanes do for infrastructure as a whole in this area? I mean, we talk about reducing carbon footprint, for example, and a lot of times people are supportive of mass transit or whatever. Right. That helps as well. So why make more space available for bikes as opposed to, say, more bus options?
Yeah. You know, I think that that's why I love working in this space, because riding bicycles and bicycle infrastructure has a lot of indirect benefits besides just giving you a place to ride a bicycle. I mean, personally, it improves your health. Anytime you jump on a bicycle and ride somewhere, it's hard not to check off your 20 minutes of exercise that day. So I think there's definitely a return on the health benefits for riding. The other thing is, every time somebody is riding a bike to get from one place to another, that's one less car on the road. And so there is less wear and tear on the vehicle lanes every time somebody chooses to ride to work. And over time, you get enough people and it adds up. It can help with congestion. Yes, it's going to take us a long time to get there. I'm not saying overnight we're going to see, you know, hundreds and hundreds of people at the stoplight on bicycles. But that is something that can happen if you build the infrastructure. What's also important is that, you know, alternative transportation options, mass transit, it only works if you solve the first and last mile problems. And so you can have a wonderful, fast, rapid bus transit line that goes from one place to another. But once you step off that bus, you're either a pedestrian or you're riding a bicycle. And so really, to get the most value out of the investments, like the recent launch of the bike share in Fayetteville, you need all the pieces of the infrastructure for each transportation mode to work together. We need a great walking network, which means crosswalks and intersections. We need a great biking network, which means bike lanes and intersections as well, safety through those intersections. And then also definitely accommodating vehicles. I mean, I may be run the bike organization, but I spend my days driving around Northwest Arkansas trying to get more bicycle infrastructure built and encouraging people to ride. So I know firsthand what I think are the traffic problems that we have in Northwest Arkansas. But, you know, this is a long-term solution, and it's something we just have to keep chipping away at in order to, you know, see those results pay off.
Paxton, thank you so much for coming in, and best of luck with the projects.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
That was Paxton Roberts, Executive Director of Bike NWA. He spoke with me inside Studio 123 earlier this week. You can find out more about these pilot projects at bikenwa.org. This is Ozarks at Large.